Well, good morning, everyone. It's kind of weird for me to be doing this instead of somebody else. But I guess when the starters are all gone, you go with the farm team, literally the farm team, and pull out whoever you can get, right? Let's just bow for a word of prayer before I start this morning. Dear Father, we're just so grateful we can be in your house this morning. I just pray that you will just inhabit this building this morning. I pray that you will speak through me in spite of who I am, and that you might just do a work here this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I think it's a pleasure to be able to share with you this morning. It's kind of scary at the same time, but we're glad that we can be here talking this morning. We hope that your holiday season was full of peace and joy, fun food, family and friends, and all the other things that go with holidays as you celebrate the Lord, birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, I didn't really know what to talk about at first, but I thought, well, you can't go wrong if you share your story. So I'm going to kind of share my story and then reflect a little bit from an elder's perspective after that and how it all kind of fits together. So I'm going to start by telling a little bit about me, because there might be a lot of you out there that really don't know a lot about me at all. And some would recognize me maybe as leading worship a little bit up here, or standing beside Robin, cleaning up the church as we do custodial, or the younger families would see me in the back room as I am with the children back there, enjoying them immensely. But my name is Marie Grunwald, and I am one of the elders here, and the leader of the Southsiders Cluster, which is South Fork, the southeast of Leduc, and the Millet area. So if you're in one of those areas, then I'm the leader that's in charge of your cluster, just so you know that. I have a 48-cow dairy farm that I say I'm 4 miles south, 4 miles east of Leduc. I have a 48-cow dairy farm, and I was married to Robin in 1990, and we have four wonderful children that are, three of them are here with us today. They're all smiling because wonderful. There we go. But they are amazing kids, and we're so grateful they could be with us this Christmas time. So my story, I was born into a Christian home, and went to church all my life. My parents were very involved in church, and so from the time I was born, we were there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and every other night in between, almost, it seemed. I accepted Christ into my heart when I was 5 years old. I was baptized when I was 12, and when I was 15 years old at Camp Caroline. I remember on the side of the hill, if you've ever been to Camp Caroline, you look out the windows to the south, there's a huge hill, and we were there, and that's where I invited Christ to come into my heart to be the Lord of my life. And since that time, basically, I've been serving him in some way or other my whole life. But by no means is my life perfect. Like everybody else, we have struggles. And a lot of my struggles were with doubt. You know, is God really there? Does God really hear my prayers? Is there any point to doing that? There's other times that I've been mad at God and say, well, you know, that's not what I wanted. It didn't work out the way I wanted it to be. And I've been mad at God. Or why does it take so long for you to answer my prayers? I've been mad at God. But what the worst part was probably, you know, Satan would always put those, you know, thoughts in your head that you're not good enough, Murray. You're not good enough to do this or that or the other thing. You're not good enough to serve. I'm not good enough to be up here talking today. Satan likes to do that. And that's probably the biggest thing that was in my life all the time. But through all that, you know, I never ever turned my back on God. I never ever doubted him that much. And through it all, the struggles you've gone through, the trials I've had, I can only see, you know, in hindsight now, how that has made me so much stronger in my faith and how I can trust him so much more now than I used to. Even though God knows everything about me, he still loves me. You know, we can never be bad enough. He knows everything, all the dirt, all the garbage. And that's such a comfort to know God's grace. Well, you might be wondering, or maybe you're not, what this has to do with visioning and clusters and all that stuff. Well, in the year 2000, Robin and I and our family of four small children, we came to this church and joined the fellowship here. When we came, we saw a style of worship that I really, really liked. And I wanted my family to grow up in that style of worship. You know, the contemporary here, the stuff that was going on. I saw a Sunday school that was full of children and teachers that absolutely loved those children. And for a long time, I was part of that as well, that I got to help with that. I saw people who had a very real passion for Jesus Christ. And you could see it on their faces. And you could see it on how they related to other people and what they did for them. So that was my impression when I came. Now, we're going to jump ahead 17 years to today. And I can say that I really do truly love this church. I love coming here. I love being part of the body, the fellowship, the visiting with people, working in the back with the children, the connections they can make with all of them. You know, for me, it's just amazing. When we look at, you know, the CE department, how it has grown and what it's become, the people that volunteer to work there, it's really amazing. Like that there's that many people that love to talk or be with the kids. I don't know if you ever go to a mall. I guess there's really no malls anymore. But if you used to go to the malls and just sit and watch people, I kind of like doing that. I like even in church here, you kind of sit and you watch what people are doing. And in the church, you can just kind of see how people are just naturally caring for one another, doing things for other, you know, loving on one another, praying for them. And that's just so encouraging to see that happening naturally and just every day. To see the openness and the acceptance and the forgiveness that's going on for one another. Now, you may be wondering, again, you know, why I'm sharing all of this and what that has to do with the visioning and stuff like that. But for me sharing this with you and kind of opening up my heart to you and telling you what my life is like is what I believe that the church is like and what Clusters is like. That's what it's all about. And it's about building relationships. It's about sitting down with others and getting to know the good, the bad, and the ugly about them. It's about knowing what makes them tick and what makes them hurt, what gives them joy, and then being able to encourage them and pray with them and journey with them. And as a very esteemed pastor once said, Dennis, of course, it's about learning to care for one another in the neighborhood so we can care for the neighborhood with one another. A couple of days ago, of course, it's been cold all week, and Robin and the kids, they went skiing, or when they went freezing, if you want to call it that. I was home alone. It was too cold to do any work, so I watched a movie. Now, I'm a real sucker for the sappy Hallmark Christmas movies. Sorry, guys. But I watched this one movie. It's called November Christmas. It's not one of those. This is one of those that if you want to cry really hard, watch this movie, because I was weeping almost the whole time I was watching it. But the movie starts with a young girl of about 20 in a town library reading a story to the kids. And I know, I think it happens in Leduc too, where you got reading sessions and stuff. And she's telling this story about this 8-year-old girl who had cancer. And she was on chemo and just all the situations that surrounding the fact that she had cancer and was dealing with this type of thing. Now, the setting was, this is about August of the year. And the dad knew that, you know, she may live, she may not live. And so he kind of set into process to try to find out, you know, could I find pumpkins? To, like, push up the seasons so if his little girl didn't make it to Christmas, she'd be able to have as many good experiences as possible. So he went to the local market garden person, whatever you want to call it, and he asked, well, are there any pumpkins around? I says, well, no, they usually don't come till October. Well, he kind of was behind the back. He went and he knew a person who had pumpkins. And, you know, in the beginning of September, all of a sudden there's a whole truckload of pumpkins at the dad's, you know, place. And so they made a huge Halloween party for his daughter with all these pumpkins and made all the pumpkin pie and cake and muffins and everything you do with pumpkins. And the whole town, when they came to the night, all of a sudden there's a door, the doorbell rings, and he opened up and says, trick or treat! And all the town kids are there to come and join with this family to celebrate with this little girl who had cancer. Well, the parents also knew that dad, he really was onto this. And so he also talked to the same guy about getting a Christmas tree. And so usually we don't tag those until at least November. And again, this is like in September. But he kind of saw what was going on. And so he went and he tagged one tree, and then he went out with his daughter, and they were able to choose the Christmas tree before she had to go back to the hospital for more chemo treatments. So just go ahead a little bit. She was in the hospital for a few weeks, or whatever month, or whatever it may be, with doing her chemo treatments. And the day they came home was November 6th, and they had picked her up, and they came home, and the whole house was decorated to the nines. Like, oh, on the lawn, there's stringers of lights all the way. They came in, the house was decorated, there's presents. And the smile on this little girl's face was just incredible. And I guess what I'm getting at through all of this is the way that townspeople rallied around this family. In their time of need, they knew what the problem was, they knew what the situation was, and they did whatever they could to make this little girl have an amazing experiences. Going to the end of the story, the last chemo treatment she had worked. She lived. She got better. She was the one that was telling her story at the beginning of the movie. It was just amazing. The people of the town really learned how to care for their neighbors and how to love on them and do everything they could to make that experience great. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like to just read a passage of Scripture. It's found in Philippians chapter 2. I just love the book of Philippians and all the relative stuff and, you know, just the amazing stuff that's in there. But Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, I'd like to read at this time. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being one in spirit and purpose. Oh, I missed the line there. Anyways, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. I love this passage, and I kind of hope that we can maybe adopt this as our theme passage for our cluster. But I think it really sums up kind of everything I've been saying here about how genuinely loving and caring for one another in the body, how we can develop that so we can do that for others. As I look ahead, just to close up, I'm going to be very excited about the possibilities that we have as a church. With the renovations all completed and the presence of this church in this community of Leduc, I think we're positioned very well to be a great influence here. And as we, but only one thing stands in the way, and that's you and me. God has to work through us. But today I just want to challenge you, if you're not involved in your clusters, get involved in your clusters. Take the time to get the people there the very best that you can, to love them and care for them. And then as a group, we can really go out and make a difference. Let's go out with the attitude of Christ. Let's be servants to others and look out for the interests of others to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Thank you, Murray. Well, it's good to be up here again. Am I on?
Yep.
And it was really exciting this morning to see Dustin and Carla walk in the door of the church. I went over and gave him a big hug, and the first thing I said was, you know you're preaching this morning, don't you? And you know, I think if we would have let him, he'd have done it. It's so good to have you back. When I was talking with Carla, she said, you know, the sabbatical time was really good. The horrible part about it was being away from our family. And that's really what this church is. It's family. That's the exciting part about it. You know, you can go and visit other churches, and it's just not the same. Because we belong here. You know, the ancient Romans had a whole pantheon of gods. I mean, there was Jupiter, and he was the one that ran the whole show, and then you had Mars, who was the god of war. And they had this one very interesting character. He was the god of the doors, the god of transitions, the god of doorways, and he guarded the doorways of the house, and he guarded the gates, and his name was Janus. And you always knew who Janus was when you see him in the carvings in ancient Rome and things like that, because he's the one that has two faces, one facing forward and one facing back. He always is looking ahead to the future and always looking behind and seeing where he's come from. And that's where we get the name for the first month of the year. And I think it's appropriate as we come to the end of the year and to the beginning of a new year, looking ahead to the beginning of a new year, to look back and just sort of review, well, what's happened? What happened in the life of our church? What happened in our own personal lives? What are some of the things we're excited about? What are some of the things we wished we could have changed? And look ahead to see what God has in store for us. It's heartening to see so many people involved in the work of this church. This year, we did get done, didn't we, Ron? We finally came to the end of the building project. One or a few loose ends to tie up yet. But we finally got it done. We finally get to use all of it. And it's exciting. And for me, one of the exciting things was that all the volunteer hours that went into that, people that came and scraped and painted and cleaned and vacuumed walls. And all the work that went into it. And I'd hate to count up the number of hours that volunteers put in if we would have had to pay for all of those. And the result is we have this beautiful facility, this functional building that's available for ministry. And as we've said so many times before, it's available for the community that we're part of. That's always been part of our DNA, to reach out into the community. But while the building's very, very visible, other parts of the ministry are not so much visible. Every Sunday morning, there's approximately 80 to 100 kids in the back there, in this new area that we designated for our children's ministry. And they get to have their own worship time over there. And again, it's all staffed by volunteers. People who give their time, their talents. Murray's talked about it. I mean, he's grandpa in there with a guitar, and he sings with the kids, and he just loves it. And he loves on the kids, and they love on him. We see a thriving youth ministry in this church. And it's exciting to see these young people that come and, you know, usually this whole section over here is filled up with young people, and now we're starting to see that some of the gray hairs like it so much, they join the young kids over there. Makes them feel younger, and that's good. You know, and the exciting thing is that these young people are not just here to soak stuff up and to get catered to. They're all involved in ministry. If you go to the kids' ministry on any given Sunday morning, you'll see half our youth group out there working, helping along, taking care of the younger generation, our young adults. You know, typically in a church, that's one of the toughest groups to hang on to and continue to minister to. And the reason for that is that they're out, they go off to college, they're going out, they're finding their way. We have a vibrant young adults ministry going in this church, solid Bible study group, involved in volunteering in our church, in our community, and ministering to one another. That's exciting to see. It's exciting to see when God's people are pulling together like that. We have an active men's ministry and a women's ministry. And it's exciting to see the generation shifting and beginning to take leadership. It used to be that those things were always done by the old gray hairs. That's no longer the case. And that's exciting to see. It's exciting to see people involved with one another. And there is a seniors ministry. On average, we'll have 50 to 60 people every other month. Gather for lunch, to hear the word, to fellowship with one another, and just to care for one another. And hear our stories. And, you know, it's good to look back and say, you know, what's God been doing? It's good to do a personal inventory and ask yourself the question, what's God been doing in my life over this past year? Where have I listened to what he's been saying to me? Where have I said, no, I'd just rather do it my own way? And then I got to come back and say, sorry, I blew it again. You know, this last year, as we look at the world stage, it's been a crazy year. Political upheaval in all corners of the world. Elections in the USA and Europe have sent out political shockwaves. We've seen terror rear its ugly head so many times. And as I was thinking about that and thinking about what's been happening and where we want to go and where we've come from, reminded of what the psalmist says in Psalm 121. As he's on his way to Jerusalem, looking around at his world, he says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. And where does my help come from? You think as he's looking up on the hills, he sees the temple, the altars to Baal and to Asherah and all the pagan gods that were there. And he asked the question, where does my help come from? Does it come from Baal? Does it come from Asherah? Who's the one who's going to provide that help for me? And then he answers the question. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He'll not let your foot slip. He who watches you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. And he will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. And he's reminded that as we trust in God, no matter where we are, no matter what the turmoil around us, God watches over us. He cares. He knows what we're going through. He's with us when we go to the doctor and we get that diagnosis that we were hoping against all hope that we would never hear. And he whispers to us and says, I've got it under control. I know what you're feeling. And you're not alone. He's with us in our joys when we're all excited. When we don't hear him so well. And he keeps us from harm. The year was 1939. King George was on the throne. And he was giving his Christmas broadcast to a nation facing the uncertainty of war. Now, those of you that saw the movie The King's Speech, remember that King George had a speech impediment, and he was not born to be king. He didn't want to be king. His brother Edward, who was the next in line, decided that he loved a woman more, abdicated from the throne, and King George was thrust into the forefront. Did not speak well. And the whole thing about the king's speech was the preparation and teaching King George how to speak. And on his Christmas speech in 1939, as his country was facing the devastation of war and the bombardments were yet to come, he addressed his nation, feeling inadequate for the task. And he quoted a part of a poem written by Minnie Louise Haskins entitled The Gate of the Year. It says this, and I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand in the hand of God. And that shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. And so I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. And he led me towards the hills and the breaking of the day in the lone east. Put your hand in the hand of God. It'll be safer than a light and better than a known way. And as we do this, that's my prayer for the Leduc Fellowship Church for the coming year. And as I think, and as I was thinking about what were my hopes and my dreams for our church, you know, I just couldn't come up with any better words than what the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter and his prayer for the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 3. There he says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know this love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do more, far more abundantly than all that we think or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church. That's you and me. the Duke Fellowship Church, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. My dream for our church this coming year, that we come to a greater understanding of who Jesus Christ is, that we know him more intimately and personally, that we begin to understand the depth of his love for each and every one of us, even when we don't feel worthy, that we're filled with God's power, and that above all, this church brings glory to God, that we see our community through the eyes of Jesus, and that we use this facility that God has given us to minister to that community and to help them to see the God who loves them and sent his son to die for them. We want to spend some time in prayer. I'm going to invite you to just stand where you are and to pray for our church, and that God would use us to minister to this community in the name of Jesus. Let's bow our heads for prayer. And then I'll close. Father, as we come to the end of one year and to the beginning of another, we have so much to be thankful for. And Father, we know that many of us throughout this year have gone through difficult days. Lost loved ones. We've suffered loss in different ways. And yet through it all, you've been faithful. And we've never, ever been alone. We thank you and praise you for that, Father. We thank you for that love that reaches out to us each and every day, that you watch over us and that nothing happens in our lives, nothing that you're not aware of, that you know the days when we're excited beyond belief because of what's happening and we're happy, and you rejoice with us, and you know the days when life is dark, and there's pain, and there's sorrow, and there's tears, and you cry with us. But even more than that, you wrap us up in your arms of love, and you comfort us, and you protect us. And Father, when we willfully walk away and decide that we're going to do our own thing for a while, you lovingly call us back. You bring people into our lives that remind us just of who you are and how much you love us. And we just thank you for that. And Father, as we stand at the threshold of a new year, we pray that it would be a year where we would draw ever closer to you. And that as we draw closer to you, we can reach out in our community and draw them closer to you. Father, you've been so good to us. And we pray that this goodness and this love that you've poured out into our lives, that we might be the conduit for you to pour it out into our community, that they might know you as you really are. Father, we thank you for the leadership that you've given us, for Dennis and Dustin, and the way they break your word to us. We know that they're your choice servants, Lord, and we thank you for them. And we pray that you would keep them close to your heart and fill them with your wisdom and your love as they minister to us and teach us. And help us to work together with them in this place. That above all, in everything that's said and done in this place, you would be glorified, your name would be honored, and Christ would be lifted up. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.